Welcome back to Divas, Diamonds, and Dollars podcast. We empower today's lady boss who seeks whole life strategies for living their best life. We bring you the key success principles for business, leadership, and personal finance to support you as you grow into the best version of yourself. Folks, I am your host, Larissa Troche, together with
Cecilia Benford.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's never good to start off with, oh my gosh, but I'm in oh my gosh mode. The situation is dire. People are sad, lonely, hurting, confused, and I'm just saying maybe they just don't know any better. How did we get to this point? Reports state that employers are saying that their staff need to undergo etiquette training. And this is for everyone, not just the younger generation that's lacking soft skills at work. On the other hand, do you think, is this the modern version of the generation gap, or what's the real story? And I leave you with that pregnant pause, Cecilia.
And with that pregnant pause, I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole, but I will tell you, yesterday I had lunch with an HR manager. And, actually she just retired. But she's still working HR consulting projects. So this was a major topic. So I'll just leave it at that. And take a pause for a public service announcement, Black History Month. Woohoo! You may have noticed that we're taking a different approach this time. We're not going to give you the history of where Black history originated from. Just the little nuggets of what's new about it this year. What are things you may not have heard about? And so I'm going to give you a little short blurb and maybe a little longer blurb. But the one thing is, I think it's interesting that when someone discovers people that nobody ever knew about, you know, sometimes you get, I don't know, it doesn't seem to excite people when we talk about the first anything, but you know what? It is a big deal because a lot of times that first person really was the foundation of something bigger that lives until today. And I'm going to mention that is country music. And the country music place is Nashville. And so, you know, I'm watching this little segment. It starts out with a shoe shine guy. And I'm like, well, where is this going? Well, fast forward to his grandfather was actually one of the founding members of the Grand Ole Opry. Imagine that. Because really, we have just now been hearing about Black country music singers. I mean, there's been, you know, two that were back in the day, but this is really relatively new. And so Nashville does have a lot of history. I've gone there with the Music City Tour, taking a tour of the city and all that. So there is a lot of history. But imagine a Panama American blues. Now, Larissa, I know you were talking about listening to some blues lately. I know you have not heard of that, right?
Nope. Have
Me
not.
Either. Me either. But it's taking a harmonica that's meant to sound like a train.
Oh my.
And so, but you know, harmonicas exist in a lot of one blues genres, you know, songs, as well as in country music, when you put those two things together. And so this shoeshine guy, you know, was just like his grandfather. And it's just the fact that ultimately, his grandfather was part of the Grand Ole Opry, but as you can imagine, this is, I don't know, 19, you know, well, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of things lately, so I'm not going to give the year, but at least more than, you know, several years, more than decades ago, okay. And so the one thing was they got rid of this guy, and he, years later, like in modern times, maybe I think it was a couple years ago, they actually made a public apology to this guy. And one of the things was stated was they apologized for suppressing something about the contributions from such a diverse group or person, that kind of thing. So that sums it up in a nutshell when we talk about things like that. So just a fast, this is not a segue, but I wanted to say what, so that's a nugget, but this is a bigger nugget. I don't know if you've heard about Lean In, but Lean In is a women's group, and they do a lot of amazing things. There's a lot out there. And so how they want to celebrate Black history is to focus on allyship. But they explain what the background of, you know, what that's all about. Okay. And so I'm just going to read this about Black women. And, you know, sometimes hearing something read to you is a little different than, you know, a few sentences. It makes you reflect. So I hope you will reflect on this. But when we talk about Black women in the workplace, it's a challenging experience, especially, and I know I have commented about being the only Black woman in the room. And so you Black women will experience different microaggressions that nobody's ever aware of. You're just sitting there kind of going through it, but more so than any other race or ethnicity. And though many women struggle to get recognition at work due to performance bias, Black women often have to work even harder than most other women to prove their abilities. I felt that my whole career. In essence, many of us were taught that growing up, that you have to be better. You have to stand up. You have to do more than everybody else. And that's true. So Black women in white majority workplaces are more likely to have their competence questioned than almost any other major ethnic group of women or men. And we actually had just such a recent public situation in the country. I don't even want to bring that up, but there's a lot of analysis that went behind what was actually shown in the media for this very thing today. Okay. So it happens at the highest levels, but, and according to the research, around a third of Black women, okay, so I already mentioned that, feel they have to perform in order to avoid certain scrutiny or judgment. It's, I mean, you really feel that, okay? But Black women, in spite of that, have been able to perform and succeed. At the end of the day, that's really what we're talking about, okay? They are ambitious. 96% of Black women say that their career is important. That's compared to 78% of white women. Well, you know, one can debate the whys of that. 72% say they're Black women, 72% say they're interested in becoming senior leaders. So I'm going to leave it at that. But this is research. This is valid research. And if one is so inclined to think about this, either personally or for your business or workplace, perhaps this is something to contemplate. Anyway. All right, so, okay, let's move on to our topic for today. All right.
I was looking so, for tonight, girl. I'm all leaning in.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it also flows to, hey, the workplace today, workforce, oh my gosh, is it ever evolving? That was a major, also part of our conversation yesterday with my HR friend. And we keep blaming everything on the pandemic. And so it has resulted in, yeah.
I mean, it's not everything, but it has definitely been impactful. And
yes.
We just have to figure out how to dig our way out, honestly.
Okay, right.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Right. So, you know, what we have are multi-generations needing to learn how to work together cohesively. And we've added a layer.
You're just too excited.
Yeah,
right. I can provide a frame for our audience first before we jump into the convo. So
you know, I do this because I'm already mentally making these connections. I apologize. I did that last week.
Don't have to apologize because I appreciate the enthusiasm. But you know, as I said, I wanna have ears glued, so I wanna set up the framework so they know the whys and the wherefores. I will say that briefly, it's not often that I find myself quoting The Rock, but because he is an unnecessarily beautiful man. But I was watching an award show, whatever day that was, when I don't tend to watch him, but you know, channel surfing and you stop. He said he was raised to believe that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. That was our man, Dwayne Johnson. He was receiving an award for an inspirational icon on the Grill Awards, I want to say Sunday. And so we talk about the pandemic, but we also have to say that tech expertise matters, whereas interpersonal soft skills are equally, if not more important for professional success. And you may have noticed, I hope you've noticed, we've mixed it up this year. And so this year, our conversations have focused on the inner workings of today's business and career woman, internal workings. However, we don't operate in a vacuum. It's not just us operating in a silo. How then should we interact with each other? What are the key soft skills important for success in today's office? And I interrupted the flow, but Cecilia will carry on and guide us into our conversation for today.
Well, so, you know, as I was saying about how the workforce is evolving rapidly, I do believe a lot of our technology, you know, is good. Now we're concerned about artificial intelligence. We're concerned about, you know, how to figure out what to do with chatbots, right? And I think maybe a lot of people, I'm going to give the excuse first. You get so involved in trying to learn more that maybe this kind of gets in the way of manners. I don't know. That's just an excuse. But anyway, so let's kind of talk about, well, how do we navigate all these simultaneous occurrences and adapt to this fast moving environment? Well, my statement is, you know, there's no excuse for not doing something. So I'm going to say, well, how do we navigate this politely, right? I've been actually dealing with this for the last couple of weeks. A co-leader and myself for this ministry group that we're working on have talked about this. What we're seeing is how people communicate differently or not at all. And to me, some things are just foundational. So, you know, soft skills, when I was still in the government workforce, we had been talking about that. So I would say we've been talking about soft skills maybe about probably about 6 years ago, because it was noticed that more younger generation didn't have it, but some of the older generation sort of had kind of gotten influenced maybe by a little bit of trying to understand how to work with a new generation. You know, there was a lot of that kind of going on, right? Technology, as I already mentioned. And so when she started looking into the subject of critical soft skills, I can tell you that this is an endless topic. And so just going to hit on a couple of things. I'm going to start with emotional intelligence, because that's really the umbrella of a lot of what I'm going to mention. It is emotional intelligence, in my view, is critical to your best professional self. Now, you can be a professional, but we want, you know, Larissa and I represent you, that women should be their best professional self. And that is, that requires personal excellence, okay? They're not separate, all right? And so there are four core skills that fall under emotional intelligence. And so just one that, well, I'll list them first, self-awareness, social awareness, self-management, and then finally, relationship management. So just think about awareness and management, two key things. And in my mind, if we're talking about your emotional intelligence or my emotional intelligence, this points back to you, right? Accountability has to point, you got to point the finger at yourself, right? So with that, just going to talk about self-awareness. I think that a lot of times if people really looked at how others perceive them, they might would make a change. Now, I have to say might, because I think that's one of the things we're grappling with today. People are kind of say they don't care what people think about them. And that's really unfortunate. But somehow we got to get a hold on this, particularly when you're working in a workplace with other people. At the end of the day, because personally, there's some things I won't tolerate, you know, because it's just unprofessional. It's a lot of things. It's also time consuming. It disrupts, you know, we talked about the office culture. It disrupts what you want to have in your workspace. If it's your business, you don't want your team members being all over the place. You have to have a certain way of relating to your customers. So this is super important about be aware of how you project, how you say, how you speak, okay? And so all of these things, we always talk about connecting with one another. I mean, that's really what makes you successful, your business successful. There has to be some connection there. If it's a negative one, you're not connecting. Somebody's going the other way, right? Active listening, active. No, that's the key word, not just listening. Some people think they listen, but they're not. How can you listen when you're messing with it, all of your devices? I'm telling you, you really can't. I've tried it. I try. You know, sometimes you just feel like you have to answer something, and you're listening with one ear. And I've even talked about listening with that third ear, but, you know, that's not a subject for today. But listening with your ears is also taking cues with your eyes. That's part of listening. You know, the good old read the room, for heaven's sake. Mm. You know, some people just don't get it. And I mean, I have sat on the periphery, on the, you know, background or at a table thinking, and you just want to pull somebody's coattail. For sure. You just want to give them a signal. And honestly, if somebody's close to me and I see somebody's not, I saw that I actually had this experience last week, and somebody was saying something. In this case, it wasn't anything necessarily cool or bad, but they were saying something that did not need to be said. I caught their eye and they immediately made the change. And the person who was.
Love how people are aware enough. I think that's by the, is that self-awareness? Because I'd like to, I don't want to.
So I think it's both. So it's self and social awareness.
Right.
Because
if you're
other people,
you're in a room with your staff and, you know, I try not to, I don't want to embarrass them, I guess. And so I do look at my staff and like, you know, that eyebrow is officially lifted. And when they are, I don't know, maybe that's a connection thing. It's like, And they're like, just what you said. That is so cool, because, you know, so many things need to be unsaid without, you know, you don't want anybody to be embarrassed, but you do need to put them up. Like, no, stop.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, so you brought that up and I'm like, I don't know what that's called, but I really love it when it happens. It's magic.
Yes. Right. And I think this kind of, you know, another thing that you can do or should do is be aware. And sometimes what I have done is to redirect what is occurring is you ask an open-ended question.
Yeah.
That way they kind of hear, oops, or, oh, I'm going down the wrong trail. So open-ended questions are great. Sometimes you need a follow-up question, or you're trying to get somebody to have a follow-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so without being so obvious that they haven't answered the mail, asking open-ended questions is a helpful way of, you know, navigating these waters. And for me, I think it, at the end of the day, it's two things. You're trying to get engagement. You got to go beyond the surface when you're in meetings and trying to get someone's attention, trying to sell something to somebody. You got to go beyond the surface. And I still kind of put a lot of this under the heading of communication. I just think that people just kind of forget that they need to communicate and how to do
Clearly.
that. Yeah. So the last one I'll talk about is self-reliance. I'm really kind of thinking about this, and I think this is kind of one of my pet peeves as well. I didn't use that word area, but earlier, but I sort of think about, I think it goes back to my performance as a person, is that I am responsible, I am accountable, and therefore I'm going to dig in with a whole lot of effort before I just say, just, oh, where is this? Where is that? Don't you love it when you send out an email, you send out a text, and somebody's sending you back something asking? And I'm guilty sometimes of not checking both places. It means a matter of time. Or, well, here's the thing. And at least I can just say that. Here's one. Send out a text, but then I immediately go follow up and look at the email. What I should have done is done the text and the email. We become reliant on text because that is the first thing that you see. And so I've been challenged with this group of people. I'm trying to do both, but then I feel, then you got to go back a third time. So I'm kind of, sometimes it's kind of like, you know what? I need to go back to how I work, trying to, deal with all however many other people, how they do things. So self-reliance is really what I'm talking about. Do your own homework first. Sometimes you need to figure out things on your own. Even so, I use the communication thing as kind of an obvious one, and I think that goes back to all the technology. Sometimes everything doesn't sync up on your different devices. I hear people, I was on a Zoom, and people are trying to connect, but maybe one device is not working, so you try to use another device, and you know what really happens? In all honesty, you sort of lose, maybe what you're thinking about. And then you kind of do want to say, help, but looking inward for answers. Now, but the cautionary tale here is this: you can't spend too much time on that. When it's kind of like, you know what, put your hand up in the air and say, okay, I need to go ask somebody else. So, that there's a balancing act there. The point is, do some homework first, because I mean, there are, and then sometimes there's just certain people that's always that's kind of their go-to. But the last comment I'll say about this, and I remember saying today to somebody, is it's really about self-confidence. And sometimes you need to help somebody speak to that inner voice of theirs, that when you note that somebody's always asking certain things, help them understand, you know what, you got this. You really just aren't confident that you have it, or that you know how. And then to even, like I said, open-ended questions to say, well, have you actually done something where you couldn't learn? So don't treat everything like, what's the answer? And I can't learn. So I'll leave that with for you, Larissa, to move on. But can't hold everybody's hand. Can't hold, my own hand. So.
Well, I mean, as you say, it is a balancing act because one of the things that I say, especially to new people, is don't guess. So, because it's harder to undo a mistake if rather than ask beforehand. But I mean, I think, timing and then, timing the position, because if someone's walking in the door, sure, please ask, because we don't expect you to know everything. Maybe you're confirming, when there's a way to ask a question. This is situation, this is what I think, is this correct? So there's ways to learn, but to that balancing act is like, if you just default to, oh, I don't know, I'm going to ask somebody, without trying. That's the whole point. I just mean try, and to have the confidence. That's a good way you put that, is helping them see that they do actually know, and just reminding them to be confident in themselves. Because I'm when you're trying to coach other people and mentor them to succeed, it is a challenge, especially if with adults and the different age ranges. It's okay, how do I need to say this so that it is heard and acted on? And Although I will say that, what are we talking about today? Etiquette, you know, it goes clearly. I hope it, you know, it should be part of your everyday life at work, at home, at play. And initially, when we start this conversation, you may feel that it is outward facing, like to customers and clients, but I find myself really noticing when it's lacking internally in our inter-office courtesies or the lack thereof. You know, so similarly or yet focused on how we interact with each other as opposed to external customers, the way we treat our co-workers bears some attention, especially people who've worked together for a long time. You know, things get really casual and then, you know, then it is just messy sometimes. People say anything like, and I don't know if it's an age thing, but so say I'm, you know, when I told you that, and this I think kind of goes along with DEI and cosmopolitan outlook, but you know, letting people bring them whole self, bring their whole selves to work. So I told you how frustrated I am when people cannot say my name, and it is an easy name. People are just lazy. That's the truth. And so I said, okay, I'm trying to rebrand as Laurie, right, to just shorten it. Can't get that right either. My name is Larry, apparently. And so now, you know, when I've told you 6 ways from Sunday and you still don't get it, I said, just call me LT. So that's my new iteration. You can't say my name, just call me LT, because I just, when you just keep messing up, then I just get distracted. And I'm not really, what was it called? Actively listening. I'm just annoyed. So this internal process is so important. And so a few of the highlights of things that, you know, we have to think about. We work with these people on the regular. You know, most, I shouldn't generalize, but you know, a lot of offices have gone to video. No one meets in person. They don't talk on the phone. It's all a video meeting. So that video meeting behavior, look, I get it. People are tired of being on camera. They don't want to put their face on. Look, I'm at work. I'm putting my face on, especially if I know I have a meeting. Or I don't know what reason they don't want to be on camera, but I know people don't want to be on camera. But video meetings are here to stay. We can still, and so I need you to know, because this, we had our office staff meeting yesterday. I'm just looking at people, totally not doing what I'm about to say. We can still see you on your cell phone. We can see you multitasking with your dual screens. These people who are facing the camera and then their eyes over there as they're typing, like, we know what you're doing. You're not paying attention. Be present, be engaged, be visible. I already said, turn on your camera. If I host the meeting, I do expect you to have your camera on. So it's just a challenge to, you know, it's just a challenge. And, you know, it comes a question, is this the, what's it called? Is this the hill I want to stake my flag on? Self-regulation, I think Cecilia touched on this briefly, but I will say, you have to know how to be hacked. Be hacked. See, I was trying to, this is a hot button for me. You have to know how to act in the office. You are in a professional setting. I don't care what your job is. You are there to do a job. You're paid to do X, Y, and Z. Sadly, to say you may remember this, a young property manager had a literal meltdown in the office when meeting with the department director and HR. Never a good meeting, sure. But you hold it together. This woman was on the floor doing, I can't know, deep breathing and yoga, downward dog, whatever she was doing. You, unless you fell, there's absolutely no reason for you to be on the floor in the office. I'm sorry. And there's just no recovery. You cannot recover from such a complete lapse of office decorum. And she's no longer with the company. Need I say more? You have to know how to maintain your composure, your facial expression, and your body language. Save the theatrics for when you're in the privacy of your own home. I do know I do not have a beautiful poker face, so but I do work on that, and it's something that you need to be aware of. And we've also talked about this because this is our way of life. We do have to know how to. We have to have the ability to connect digitally. And, you know, people lose all, well, etiquette and mannerism, good manners actually on text, especially if you're in your workday. You know, at the beginning of the workday, you have to greet someone. You don't just jump right into the middle of the conversation if you have not communicated with that person at least once that day, you should still use their name or start the conversation with a salutation, if you will. I still cringe when I receive a poorly written resume and, text speak. I mourn the loss of capitalization and pronouns. I do. I do. It hurts me right here, people. Every time I see that, and I'm like, okay, am I the grammar? I'm not. English was not my best subject, but I do know when it's supposed to be capitalized. And I'm endlessly frustrated when I receive, as I said, terse emails with no salutation, jumping in the middle of the conversation with poor spelling or run-on sentences, and then I have to really exercise my brain to figure out, okay, what exactly are they trying to say?
Hey, could I interrupt just to say this one thing? I kind of find myself apologizing when I have to correct something today. And the apology is that if you have worked as much, well, with the government, all the contracts, high level meetings and presentations that have to be perfect, there's just no way I can read something without noticing all these things. It
I see
just, there's no way.
it
And it
all.
is painful. It is absolutely painful. And I'm like, why does anybody not care? Teach anybody? It's painful.
Yes. You heard my entire dialogue. And because I already told you, like at all my jobs, people always want me to edit and review something. And, is this right? And so, honestly, folks, read more business journals and articles to get a feel for well-written correspondence. I mean, that's an easy thing to do. Take a class. I know no one wants to take a class, but there's so much information available. Turn on spell check at a minimum. And you can also use Grammarly. That helps you with your not just the spelling, but punctuation and word use. I mean, the tools are out there. It's just being willing to use them. You do need to slow down. This is your outward-facing self, and you should one would I hate I try not to use wish, but you should want to present a more professional appearance if you are in a work getting paid to do a job. There are free tools available. Just turn them on, and you will look like a star. You may have noticed it. We get a little hot under the collar on that one. And the other biggie is work ethic. And I'm gonna say I try not to look too much at these kind of headlines, but TikTok, for example, is replete with the young gens bemoaning the very idea that they're expected to show up on time and do the job they were hired for. What? But for me, it's also about workflow. Okay, yes, you have your job, but how does that fit into the grand scheme of things? Having a strong work ethic means not only doing your job properly, but also timely, so as not to hold up the next step in the process. Consider it's an assembly line. Most work is not, an isolated function. It ties in with other functions within the workplace. So consider the big picture process. Where does your task fit in? And I'm going to say sometimes it also means going above and beyond the expectations or the exact letter of the task. Maybe you need to take on additional tasks or otherwise expand what you've done and taking on more than you were asked to do. Work ethic, these are the struggles that I have. How do you teach this? I'm having an inner dialogue with myself in my new role as associate director because there are some changes in how. Well, first of all, the people that you work with, and of course, the things that you want to be able to say in order to help people. I still want people to be successful. That is my primary focus. If I'm talking to you at work, one-on-one, I really want to do what I can to help you be successful. But what? I can't want it more than you. But I still look at ways to, improve my communications. I still want to be clear. I still want to be, connected and, understood. So that what needs to happen can happen. So I will let the breath out and let you give us some final insights.
Okay, there we can't say there you have it because we just kind of scratched the surface. Etiquette may sound old-fashioned to some people. The sound of it may be old-fashioned, but the actual activity of it is not. Okay. As long as we're people, we need etiquettes. So, at the end of the day, you're required to extend professional courtesies to your coworkers and clients alike. And again, one example, email acknowledgement that sort of indicates I really may need you to respond that I got it. Telephone message, even if you just say, okay, thanks, got it. Okay. So I'm using that as an example to say it's not old fashioned. All right. So if you or others you think need training in that, you know what? There are etiquette training courses out there. This stuff is pretty recent. You check the internet. I mean, there are things out there that talk about this. So because there's a group, there are people who recognize we've sort of lost our way. And there are some of us who want people to find their way back. So monitor your, but if nothing else, you might not be able to do anything for anybody else, but you can monitor your own self-awareness. You can reflect about your, are you self-reliant? Or are you expecting somebody else to give you the easy answers? You actually stop somebody to think about your question to answer you. I mean, either way, somehow this two-way street, there's something wrong with that, I believe. So just think about it. Active listening, it will benefit you as well as the person who is communicating. So that is super important. And finally, the work ethics is something, since Risa just mentioned it. By having a certain work ethic in a virtual environment or even a personal environment, we live in a digital age. That's how we connect. And when you are a responsible, accountable person, your work ethic means you show up. And how you show up is super important in very many facets. So choose an area to focus on if you're deficient in any of these areas. Point the finger at yourself just to say, is there an area I need to improve on? And at the end of the day, we're just talking about be your best professional self and your personal being excellent is who you want to be. Action items, maybe.
Righty. I will just say that how we treat each other at work forms our work culture, which either attracts or repels quality staff. So consider the above suggested soft skills. How do you stack up? And SSC has already gone through the, next moves. So I will just let you know that next week we'll take an interesting look at what it means to be charismatic and connected. See you next week, gentle persons. Cheers.